Bible with you, open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where I'll be the majority of this morning. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you a verse out of 1 Peter, just a way of getting our mind thinking this morning. It's my prayer this morning, and it's my prayer every time anyone stands here to try to preach God's Word. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." 1 Peter tells us that God is the source. God and only God is the source. I stand before you this morning, I can tell you I have done my part. I'm not one of those preachers that claims to not use notes. I've studied, I've considered, I've prayed diligently, I've made my notes, but if God is not in this, I cannot minister to you this morning. And that's on both sides of the pulpit. I hope you are praying for me this morning that the Lord be with me, that by His Spirit and by His guidance and His power that I am able to preach to you this morning. But I pray for each one of you that God be with you. It is of God that your hearts be open, that your minds be open, and that you receive the words that are preached this morning, and that it reaches the end that is desired. It's going to be of God that any of that comes about. To Him be the glory and the honor of all things forever and ever. Amen. Because I'll tell you, I've got a desire on my heart this morning. I've got an end game. I've got an end result that I'm looking for this morning. Do y'all know the preaching of the Scripture, the preaching of the gospel is supposed to have an effect on you? You're supposed to go home changed this morning. I can tell you the preacher on this side wants to see that happen. I can tell you when I'm sitting out there, I come wanting it to happen. I want to be changed. That's the desired end, and that's only by God. So I pray the Lord be in it this morning as I try to talk to you about what's on my mind this morning. Looking at Ephesians chapter 5, I want to start in verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." I want to this morning to look kind of somewhat an overview of Ephesians, because you see it as it builds from the beginning to the end, Paul's desire. See, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he had a desire. He had an intention. He had a purpose in mind. And I love the way he did it, because it's of utmost importance that we build this way. He starts to the church at Ephesus. I want y'all to think this morning. I want y'all to consider, can we relate to the church at Ephesus? Can we relate to this book? Paul begins with one of the most beautiful and simply stated explanations of God's purpose and desire in saving His people. He starts in Ephesians 1 telling us that God chose His people before the world began. He chose them. He placed us. He placed you in Christ. Before anything existed. Do you know there's a sense in which you're an eternal being as well? And that's by God. Before there was so much as a speck. A lot of science tells us now that there was this speck that was so crammed full of energy that it couldn't hold it anymore. And boom! Everything started happening. Before there was so much as a speck for God to stand upon and speak, He thought of you. He thought of His people. He loved His people enough that He placed them into Christ. Yes. The one source that would be able to hold them, keep them, protect them and bring them to his purpose and desire, and that was to have them with him for eternity. Before there was anything, he chose his people and he placed them into Christ. And he keeps us there. He will never let us go. No one can pluck us from his hands. Amen. We can't walk out of his hands. He's not going to get tired of us and let us go. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That is the truth. Paul begins with that. Notice, Paul doesn't begin with how worthless and undone and terrible and nasty and useless sinners you are. He didn't start off with the book of Ephesians with that. God help us if that's what we try to do. When we see somebody new and all we want to do is just beat them up. How terrible you are. You're useless. You're worthless. You can't do anything. You have no power. You're ugly. You're a dead alien sinner. You're of no good. God has nothing to do with you. No. That is not where to start. Paul starts from the very beginning when God loved us. He builds on the truth that God has loved us. God still loves us. God will always love us. He chose us, and yes, we were dead alien sinners. We were completely and utterly separated from God. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, I don't feel like I deserve God's love. You don't. God doesn't know everything I've done. Yes, he does. God knew everything you were going to do before there was a speck for him to stand on. Now think about that. And in spite of that, God chose us and loved us. Can y'all relate to that? Do you count yourselves among that number? Do you count yourself as one of those that God has always loved and always will? That's where Paul starts. He starts with the entire elect family of God, and he builds from that to what we are now, the church. He builds on the truth of God's salvation of his people to the gospel call of get in the church and get involved. He calls, and now the Gentiles and the Jews are no longer separated. They are all come together. They are a local, born again, called out assembly in Ephesus. That is the church. Nearly every time, if not every time in Scripture, the church is referred to, it is the local, called out assembly of God in this area. Can we relate to that? Well, let's see. Do you count yourselves? Okay, I know we're Baptists, but we can raise our hands. Do you count yourselves as being a child of God? There's still some hands down. Come on now. There we go. I see myself. I have accepted the truth that I am a child of God. Have you heard the gospel? Do you think it's to you? Look around you. Are you the only one here? You're the church. You're the church of Russellville. I don't care what name's over the door. I don't care what denomination we claim to be. We are the assembly of God's called out chosen people standing for his truth. We are the church. This is who Paul is writing to. The church at Ephesus. And he starts off with telling them that you are the church, bringing them together, and he comes here to the fifth chapter. And he starts telling them what to do with it. Now, I know a lot of us, and because I was among that number for a long time, I thought that being part of the church meant being at church on Sunday morning, and that was it. If I'm at church on Sunday morning, I fulfilled my duty, I've done my services, I've been to the service of God, I'm good for a week. There's more to it than that. God's got a purpose in everything he does. God doesn't do anything by chance. He doesn't do anything just to see what happens. God's got a purpose in everything that he does. And Christ spent his life here on this earth building and teaching, encouraging me to go out to teach, baptize, and teach. Why? Because he wants a church here. And there's a reason for that. God expects things of us. He gets here to the fifth chapter, and it's what's on my mind this morning. It's the charge to the church. A lot of you were here about a month ago when I was ordained. And a lot of you heard that awesome, gut-wrenching charge that was given to me. Do you know y'all are charged as the church just the same? Paul starts here in the fifth chapter telling you what you're supposed to do if you raised your hand saying, I'm a child of God. If you raised your hand and said, the gospel is to me, and I've heard it, and I understand it, then you're expected to do something with that. And it's not just be here on Sunday morning. We're expected to do things. He starts off, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's not very comfortable, is it? That's the start of the charge to the church at Ephesus. I tell you, that is the charge to the church of Russellville. If you know you're a child of God, things are expected of you. He goes on and says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, this subject that's on my mind this morning, it's been on my mind a lot of late, and I'll be honest, I've been a little afraid to preach it. Because I don't want it to come across as a rant. I don't want to come across as just thus saith John. And I don't want anybody to turn me off. And that's why I started with where I did on the truth of you are a saved, born again child of God. And nothing you can do, ever will do, or ever have done can keep you out of heaven. But there are things that we do in this life that can keep us from experiencing God now. And there are vain teachings. There are doctrines that are being taught and gaining ground and being taught throughout Christianity today that are destructive and dangerous, and they are tearing God's church apart. And there is one that I have heard over and over, over and over and over, and I heard it four times this week, and that's why I finally, God's not going to leave me long. I got to say something. How many have heard this? Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. There's one group that I love, man. They teach great things. I mean, they're good, but they share these stickers and pictures and all these things. Christ is my Savior, not my religion. False. That is false. To stand and say that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, is false. And we as the church are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we have to be careful of these vain teachings. And this one is one of those that is very slippery and very dangerous because it's got a hint of truth to it. It sounds right. Christianity very much has a relationship in it. I very much encourage you to understand and know you are a child of God. And experience that relationship in your life. Look for it. Seek it out. And know that I can never be dirty enough that God won't love me. I can never do things in this life that will separate me from God. I encourage you to know that. But every child of God has that. Whether they have ever heard the gospel, whether they have ever opened the book, whether they ever darkened the doors of a church, they have that promise. They are a child of God, and nothing can separate them. But those of us that have heard the gospel, those of us that know the truth, those of us that know we're a child of God by the preached word of God, are expected to do more. We're Christians. And that's not a box on a form to check to say who you are. Christianity is a religion built upon a relationship. It is a religion. I understand the teaching. I understand their desire to try to separate ourselves from religion. I understand that. There are false religions that teach horrible things. And in an effort to try to differentiate that, we try to say it's not a religion so we can feel better about ourselves. Christianity is a religion. What is religion exactly? Religion is defined as an action or conduct indicating a belief in, a reverence for, and a desire to please a divine ruling power. What's wrong with that? That is religion. It is an action or conduct indicating a belief, a reverence for, and a desire to please a divine ruling power, the exercise or practice of rites or observances implying that. A particular system of faith and worship. That is Christianity. The first place anyone was ever called a Christian was in the church at Antioch. We are expected to live a certain way. We are expected to do certain things. And it is just like our natural parents. What choice did you have in who your parents were? I had no ability to become a Staten. I was born that way. I had no ability to make myself a Staten. You have no ability to make yourself a child of God. God took care of that.
Amen. Thank
God. Now think back on your childhood. Those of you that are still kids, think about your life. How comfortable is it when you listen to what mom and dad says? How much easier is life? How much more blessed is life when you listen to what mom and dad says?
Amen.
How painful is it when you don't? Do you count yourself overjoyed when they say, go get a switch? No, I can't say as I was getting the inheritance of the blessed life of being a Staten when I was told to go get a belt. I'm still a Staten.
Amen, brother.
Still a child of God. But if I don't listen to what my dad says, it's going to come with repercussions. And how much more did your parents expect of you when you were old enough to know it? When you had been taught it? When you had shown in your life by your own mouth and confession that you understand what is expected of you? Church, you raised your hand and said you believe the gospel, that you've heard it, that you understand it. You know and understand what's expected of you. You're still a child of God, whether you live it or not. But these people that willingly live a life contrary to God's word have no inheritance to the kingdom of God. And that's not heaven. That's right here, right now. Christ went about teaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If this glass was sitting back there, it would not be at hand. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here right now. And we can have an inheritance in it by one way, and that's living according to what God said. If we do not do it, we will not have inheritance in the kingdom now. We're expected to live this way. We're expected to do these things. And don't fall for the false teachings of all you need to do is love God. As long as you love God, anything you do is okay. However you feel is okay as long as you love God. As long as you've got God in your heart, that's all that matters. If you've heard the gospel, you know better than that. You understand better than that. And you're expected higher than that. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't do it. Paul's very clear. Don't do it, church. This wasn't to individuals. This was to the church at Ephesus. Don't go out there and live like they do. Don't go out there and act and look and talk and smell like them. Don't do it. It will come with repercussions. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's why he points that out. Now, I like just pointing out you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. But think about the context of where he says that. He says, don't go out there and live like these people outside that don't know. Don't go out there and live like those that don't believe. You were sometimes darkness. You used to be the person that had no choice. You used to be the person that would live that way and be happy, but you are now light. God has made you able to be better. Amen. God has given you the ability. When God chose you before the foundation of the world and placed you into Christ and quickened you into life, He made you able to live according to what God says. There is not a single word in this book of what God tells us to do that we are not able to get it done. God has given us everything we need to be able to do this. In regeneration, He gives us everything we need. You are now light. Walk as children of light. Skip the parenthetical phrase, proving, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We are called on by the gospel. We are called on by the teachings of Scripture to go out there and live a life that proves what is acceptable unto God. It's just like Romans 12 when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Never forget that this is by God's power. We can't do this alone. That by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Christianity is a religion. It is a particular system of faith and worship. It is a religion built upon a relationship. It is an action and life of conduct indicating belief built upon the fact that you are a child of God. God has never accepted just anything placed before Him. He has never just accepted anything and everything. He's always been particular about what He accepts. Go all the way back to the garden with Cain and Abel. He honored one sacrifice and denied the other. We're told in the New Testament why. Cain presented it because he had to. Abel did it by faith. That's a particular way of presenting that sacrifice. We can't present our lives just any way we want to before God and just, here it is, Lord, accept, take it or leave it. He'll leave it. You can't force God to accept something. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. It's a two-edged sword. Praise God, He will not forget us. He will not change His mind. He will not get tired of us. He won't get bored with us. He changes not. We have a home in heaven that is guaranteed, no questions asked. But God is still just as picky today as He's always been at what He's going to accept. Psalms 119 says that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It is by following God's word that we cleanse our lives. It is by following God's word that we make our lives acceptable before God.
Amen.
We are called on to live this life. He beseeches, Paul beseeches, he begs, he is telling us, we need to present our lives a living sacrifice. This is 24/7, 365. All day, every day, present our lives just as it said that Christ did at the start of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's more than just his death on the cross.
Right.
We're told in chapter 6 that he, I think it's chapter 5 actually, where he gave his life for his bride. He lived his life all day, every day as a sacrifice unto God. And it was expected to be done a certain way. Christ had to live his life perfectly for it to be accepted by God. Christ lived his life according to God's direction. He says, I come not to do my own will, but my Father's will. That's an amazing thought to hear Christ be willing to say that. His will is the same as God's. He could have said he was doing his own will and still been in the right of what he was doing. But even though his will was perfectly unified with that of God's, he still put himself aside and lived for the Father. And he calls on us to do the same thing, to live our lives a living sacrifice presented not to other men, not to the pastor, not to the other people in the church, but to God. We live our lives presenting them to God. And we are called on to make those lives holy and acceptable unto him. And that is required to do it by his directions, by his book, his particular system of faith and worship. I've heard being called a religious man as being a dirty word. That's horrible. Don't call me a religious man. Why? Religious is simply endued with religion, exhibiting the spiritual or practical effects of religion. I want God to affect my life. I want to be a religious man that lives by God's word. Religion is not a bad thing. There is vain religion talked about in Scripture. We can do it by our design and by our thoughts, and we're wrong. It's those vain teachings that he's talking about. But there's true religion that is taught in God's word. It's his design and his desire and his worship. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is what we're called on to do. Proving, showing, exemplifying what is acceptable unto God. Those that want to make religion not, or Christianity not a religion, tells us that we can live however we want to. As long as we love God, we can live however we want to. As long as we love God, we're okay. God's word is contrary to that. He's charging the church of Ephesus to go out and live contrary to that. It's not about what we say. It's about what we do. It's how we live. It's how we live every day in our house, every day in our job, every day as we're walking around and talking to people. It's about how we live. We are now the light. Jesus Christ taught, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Not that you should be or could be or might be if you feel like it. He says you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works It's not all about what you say. It's about what you do. It's how you are at work. When you're the guy that's always in the mully grubs, or are you the guy that's happy to be there because God's blessed you with a job that feeds your family? Are you the guy that comes to church just to sit on the pew, or are you the guy that's here looking for God's direction and change in your life? It's all about what we do and how we are, and how we appear to others does matter. We're to shine our lights that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. We are to live a life that shines a light. That's why Christ spent his time among the sinners. It wasn't so he could go and partake with them. It didn't matter what he did. As long as he was with God, that's all that mattered. He could just go do what he wants. No, he went over there and he hung out with the sinners so they could see what was right, and he could shine a light in the direction of how they needed to go. It's not about just getting by with whatever you want. It's about shining a light. It's about shining to others what we're supposed to do. We are to live a religious life based upon the fact that we know we're a child of God, and he has given me the ability to do better, and he expects me to do better. And I want to do better. I want that happy life of when I'm doing what mom and dad says. Amen. I want that time that, you know, that extra pie gets made because I did good at school that week. I want that little bump in my allowance because I did my chores without asking. You know, God will bless your life when you live according to his ways. That's the inheritance that's spoken of here. If we live according to his word, you will see his blessings. You will see his encouragement. You will feel him with you. You will see him in your path. And it only comes by following him. Then are you my disciples indeed. If you believe and do, then are you my disciples indeed. We're to be out proving what is right, not just telling them what's right. We're to be out shining a light on these things. The ultimate charge comes in verse 16. I'm going to go to 15. This is the charge to the church. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is serious. That's what circumspectly means. To be prudent, to look well to your going, to be cautious, to be serious about this. See then that you walk seriously, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, Ephesus, we can relate to them more than just the fact that we're children of God. You got to look at who he's writing to. The church at Ephesus was in, by the world's view, a great place. Ephesus, America can relate to it real well. It's profitable. It's prosperous. Everybody wanted to be there. World traded there. Great place, good to go vacation at, good place to go hang out at, and the whole place was given over to idol worship. To a fertility goddess, Diana. Sounds a lot like America. But by the world's view, it's a great place. People are breaking in here to get over here. People want to be here. But when you shine the light of God's word on it, it's not near as pretty, is it? And I'm afraid that we as a church have just given in. We've lost that charge. We've forgotten that God's got us here for a reason. And it's not just to come in here and feel comfortable and protected. It's because we're supposed to go out there and redeem the time. You can't redeem what's not yours. God has given us today. If we spend our entire time here in the church worried about the future of the church and where are our kids going to take it, the church is going to fall because we've let it go by. We've got, right now is the time God has given us. Right now is the time that is ours, and we are to go out as the church of God and live the time and live as lights and shine the light and redeem this time. Get it back. God's given it to us now. Live according to Him and redeem this time. We can change things. We absolutely can. The church has not lost its power. The church has not lost its standing with God. We are still the bride of Christ. We are still as powerful today as we have ever been. It's all about what we're going to do with the knowledge of who we are. We're to go out and redeem the time, proving what is right. Don't waste the time. Redeem the time. And don't act like you don't know. Don't act like you don't understand God's will. You've been told God's will. God's will for the church is for us to come in, learn of Him. Yes, part of being the church is to be here. Absolutely. But that's just step one. Be here. Learn. Go out and live. Shine a light. Direct more people in here. We can teach them and they can go out and shine their light and bring more people in with them. The church can grow today just as much as it always has. It's not stopped. We're still able. God's still on His throne. We're still the bride of Christ. We're still the local assembly of the called out, born again, baptized believers that are called on by God's word to redeem the time, to live according to Him. And don't be afraid of being religious. It's a good thing. I promise. Amen. It's a blessed life to live according to God's word. You want to see God in your life? Get religious. Don't be afraid of that word. Don't let people talk you down. Christianity is a religion. And what a blessed one it is. Amen. Thank y'all. God bless.